I have reached the last sermon in a series of 5 sermons on discipleship. We have spoken about the heart of a true disciple. We spoke about the calling of true disciples. We talked about the transformed life of true disciples. We spoke about the servanthood of true disciples. And today I want to talk about the endurance of true disciples. Last week we said that being a true disciple is hard. It's not easy. In serving the Lord, you can expect to have difficulties and hurts. You will be lied about. You will be mocked. You will be taken for granted. You will be gossiped about. You will be verbally abused. You will be despised. It's not easy being a disciple, friends. But sometimes it causes us to wonder if being a Christian is worth it. And it tempts us to slip back into mediocrity. It tempts us to slip back into being just a believer instead of a disciple. We said there's a difference last time we spoke. There's a difference between being just a believer and being a true disciple. Friends, I believe that God wants to encourage us this morning to endure. God wants to encourage us to persevere. God wants us to encourage us to remain faithful to the calling to follow Christ. Back in 1962, businessman David Glass heard that there was a man called Sam Walton who was about to have a grand opening of his second store in Harrison, Arkansas. David Glass, who was running a successful pharmacy chain in Missouri, decided, you know what? I'm going to attend the grand opening of Sam Walton's second store. But what he saw did not impress him. You see, Sam Walton wanted to bless the customers. And so he had truckloads of watermelon come and put in the parking lot so that when people will come and go out of his store, his new store, they can grab a watermelon for free and go home. He also had a donkey that was giving rides to the children of the customers. But on that particular day, the temperature on the asphalt got up to 42 degrees that afternoon. And what was happening, watermelons were popping all over the parking lot. And donkeys, of course, did what donkeys do behind them. And looking back that day, David Glass said, that parking lot was a mess. Inside the new store was a mess. I thought Sam Walton was a nice fellow, but I wrote him off. This was one of the worst store operations I had ever seen. But do you know that 25 years later, David Glass was working for Sam Walton? Yeah? David Glass was the president of what had become the most successful chain of retail stores in the world, namely Walmart. Hey, David Glass said, you know what? There was something deep inside Sam Walton that made him improve every day. And that was, this man always aimed for a goal. He always aimed for a goal. You see, aiming for a goal, friends, is important in every area of our lives. Aim determines direction. For example, in basketball, you aim for the net before you let go of the ball. In football, you aim to get the ball over the goalpost before you kick. When you're shooting with a pistol or a rifle, that your aim determines or the direction that the bullet is going. But too many times, people lose focus. People lose focus. They use the method of ready, fire, aim. And they miss all the time. And you know what? As disciples of Jesus Christ, as true followers of Christ, we need to ask ourselves, friends, are we focused on following after Jesus? Paul answered this question when he, in his last letter, he wrote to young pastor Timothy. And he said this here, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. I was just thinking during my break between the services. One day I was putting on a show for my granddaughter Olivia. And I was acting all sad and teary. And this was 3 years ago. I was telling her how, you know, I was so sorry for not making it to her fourth birthday. And she lived in Ontario at that time, in Windsor, Ontario. You know what she said to me? She said, Grandpa, we are family. We live far from each other. It's okay. Be strong, Grandpa. And Paul is telling Timothy, be strong. But the Greek verb here is more accurately translated. Let yourself be strengthened. Let yourself be empowered. And in other words, don't get strong. You don't get strong by trying harder. You don't get strong by drawing on your own strength, by gritting your teeth and flexing your biceps. You don't get strong that way. The kind of strength that you need to get strong with comes from outside. And you know where it comes from? It says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ. Do you see that, friends? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We need to find our strength in God's resources. Every one of us, we are like a power tool with an electric plug. It's a simple way to explain it. When we are plugged into God and his resources, those resources start to flow into our lives to empower us to do what we cannot do on our own. Suddenly, when we plugged into to the grace of God and the resources of God, then love we need to care for others begins to flow. The patience we need to wait and not get frustrated begins to flow into our lives. The courage we need in the face of fear begins to flow. The strength we need to carry on and keep on keeping on begins to flow. And all these things come from being plugged into the grace of God, friends. Listen, those who don't plug into the grace of God, you will never leave a significant mark. Those who refuse to plug into God's grace only live their life through self-sufficiency, relying on self and ego. But it takes humility to admit that we have sinned against God and to trust Jesus for salvation. But until we do that, we can't plug into God's grace. You'll find ourselves being like a power saw, trying to cut wood without a power supply. We look good, eh? You look good, like a nice shiny power saw, but there's a plug dangling there. You look good. But without being plugged into the grace of God, you'll find that as a Christian, you'll fall flat, friends. You will fall flat. You will not have the sustenance you need to serve God. That's one reason why we meet together every week, to be empowered by God's grace. We've got to admit we can't do it alone, that God's We need God's powerful grace to be operating in our lives, to be the kind of people he wants us to be. Keep in mind, when Paul was writing this to Pastor Timothy, young Pastor Timothy, Paul was in prison. He was busy. He was chained to the guard. He was awaiting execution. He knew that I might die tomorrow, guys. He knew that his ministry was coming to an end. And you know what Paul says? Listen, he says, come. He says, Timothy, keep on following. Keep on persevering. Keep on enduring. But you do so by continuing the work of God. You continue the work of God. When we look at this passage here, we find that there are four generations mentioned here. Paul, it began with Paul, who was chosen by Jesus to be an apostle. Paul had a message that he preached and he taught always as he went through his ministry. People knew the message. They knew the gospel that Paul was sharing. And Paul now, he says, he passes this message on to Timothy. And then he says, Timothy, I need you to find reliable people. Find reliable people to take the message, not to, I need you to take the message, not to water it down, not to take away from it, not to add to it. I need you to find reliable men who will continue the sharing this message. And then those reliable men must take that message and teach others. You see the four groups there, friends? In other words, once we follow in God, once we are true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news, the gospel doesn't end with you. You don't say, Lord, I've got saved. Thank you for saving me. I repented of my sin. I asked you to forgive me. I have asked you to come into my heart and be my Savior and Lord. And that's it. We need to continue, friends. But you cannot be continuing in your own strength. We need to be empowered by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, I want to encourage you today. And in saying this to Timothy, Paul says to Timothy now, endure hardships. Why did he say that? Because it's not an easy road. It's not an easy road to follow Jesus Christ. It refers to a willingness to take the difficult road, to take a road less traveled. This kind of hardship he's talking about is found in the next few verses of our text. And we're going to go through that text. There's only 13 verses that I wanted to talk about. But as we go to verse 3 and 4, you will start to see the different word pictures that Paul uses. He says, firstly, being a disciple who endures hardship, Paul says, we need the dedication of a soldier. See the word, first word, word picture. He says, endure hardships with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Soldiers endure hardships because being a soldier is a dangerous and demanding way of life. Soldiers are exposed to elements. So soldiers are exposed to dangers, and sometimes they go without food and sleep and shelter. A soldier also has to stay free from civilian affairs. The words there, gets involved, literally means gets entangled or gets tangled up in. Do you know that a Roman soldier wasn't allowed to even get married until he's enlisted his enlisted time ends. Could you imagine the Roman soldiers when they're fighting? Yeah, they've got the sword and the shield and they're fighting. And he's, I wonder how my wife doing. I wonder if there's enough bread in the house. No, you can't be bothered with that. You see? You've got to stay focused. Eh? I wonder who won the elections. Hey, stay focused. That's what diligent soldiers do. Dedicated soldiers. Friends, Paul said that the soldier's aim is to please his commanding officer. He wants to please his commanding officer. Do you know that back then in those days, generals recruited their own soldiers? They didn't put an ad there and say, anybody wants to join the army, you can come. No, a general went around and said, come here, buddy. You come. He chose his own soldiers. So you, at the end of the day, your commanding officer was the very man who recruited you. Back in the 1800s, the Italians had an army general named Giuseppe Garibaldi. He became a legendary hero by recruiting an incredibly dedicated army of soldiers. Listen what he said to when he was walking around picking his soldiers. Listen to how he would appeal for recruits. He said to them, I offer neither pay, nor quarters, nor provision. I offer hunger, thirst, forced marches, battles, and death. But let him who loves his country with all his heart and not with his lips only, follow me. And friends, in essence, that is the similar appeal that Jesus gives to anyone who follows him. Hey? Jesus says, let him who loves God with all his heart and not with his lips only, let him follow me. As soldiers who follow Christ, we might be fighting spiritual battles. We might be friends enduring hard times. But no matter what it is that we are going through as dedicated soldiers of Christ, as dedicated followers and disciples of God, no matter what it is, friends, our aim is to always please our commanding officer. Right? Our aim is always to please our commanding officer. A good soldier of Christ should wake up every morning and say, what would my commanding officer have me do today to please him? What can I do as a soldier of Christ do to bring glory for him? If we sit down, friends, and we analyze our schedule, would it show that we are walking wisely and making the most of our time? We have been doing things that will show that we are aiming to please our commanding officer. Would it show that we have a mindset of spiritual? Would it show that we have the mindset of spiritual soldiers? Or would it show that we are AWOL, absent without leave, trying to please ourselves, getting involved in the pleasures of this world, trying to take us away, our focus away from serving God. We stay away from anything, friends, that would displease Jesus Christ. Think about your life. Stay away from things that will displease Jesus. Like soldiers, we are completely dedicated to the one who has enlisted us. Secondly, the next word picture that we have, being a disciple who endures hardship, we need the discipline of an athlete. Being a follower of Jesus Christ is like an athlete who trains according to the standards to compete. It requires self-discipline and single-mindedness. The Bible says in our next verse of our text, similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. In the ancient Olympic Games, athletes trained up to 2 years before the game started. An athlete without discipline would never make it. According to the article in the magazine called Scientific America, today, Olympic competitors endure 1,000 hours of intense training in order to achieve an improvement of 1 single percentage point in a competition. But it's often a single percentage point that wins the gold. An athlete who isn't disciplined enough to meet the requirements will never win. Any successful athlete has to have discipline to train. Right? If I am a long distance marathon runner and I'm representing the country and I'm going for gold, prior to the race, I've got to be disciplined in my training. I can't wake up one morning and say, oh, well, wait now, it's too cold outside. Or I can't wake up one morning, man, it's nice and sunny, let's go to the lake. I have to discipline myself that every time I have to go train, I've got to go and put in the hours. I've got to go and put in the distance. Do you know that to win the race and then get disqualified because you broke the rules is hard on an athlete? At the Pan American Games, Canadian swimmer Emily Overholt comes first in the 400-meter medley. But she's disqualified for a non-simultaneous wall touch during the breaststroke stage. Officials ruled that her hands did not hit the wall at the same time. That's the rules, Emily. You did not touch the wall together with your hands. You've got to stick to the rules. And as a devoted follower of Jesus Christ, we have the rules, friends. We can't pick and choose and say, this is a nice one. I'll do this one. But no way with that one. Telling the church earlier about my little granddaughter, Olivia, she is 7 now. Hey, she's good at playing chess. She can challenge anyone, yeah? She'll give you a run. And you know, one day we were playing, and I was sweating because I was losing. And then she said, oh, by the way, Grandpa, checkmate. And I said, what? No, I'm protected here. I'm blocked. She says, oh, man, just for me, Grandpa. Just move that one out of the way so I can win. I said, you can't break the rules. You can't change the rules. And sometimes as Christians, friends, we think that we are able to change the rules. We think that it's okay with God. You know what? If we just bend the rule here and there, that we have this special arrangement with God and that we can do as we please. But you know what? No one can say that they love Jesus and yet do not do what he commanded. John 14:21. Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Friends, listen. We've got to get serious about serving God. We've got to get serious about serving God. We've got to endure no matter what's happening. You know, work, you've got to endure serving God. Do you know that Paul writes his last letter to Timothy, and he's looking back on his life. He's facing death, execution. And he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, he says, you know what, Timothy? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. All those who have endured. All those who followed steadfastly. To be a true disciple, we have to be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to endure hardship, friends. As a dedicated soldier, as a disciples, athlete, and one more. Lastly, being a disciple who endures hardship, we need the diligence of a farmer. Listen what it says in our next verse of our text. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive the share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. The word hardworking, friends, refers to the work that involves difficulty and trouble. It refers to toil. A farmer gets up at the crack of dawn and he works in the blistering heat until late at night. He staggers into bed only to start again in the morning and do it again, friends. And you know what? A lot of times I listen to my farmer friends. They say, Keith, you know what? We needed this machine. It's been standing the whole winter in our shop. It's ready to go. And we go down to use it. The machine breaks. The fan belt breaks. And this is wrong and that's wrong. But he carries on. He doesn't say, I quit now. He carries on. He'll drive to Westlock, wherever, to get the part, bring it back, fit it, start it up, and go to work. He doesn't sulk. Friends, listen. We have a saying in South Africa, don't criticize a farmer with your mouth full. You don't know what he's done to get what you got in your mouth. And you know what? Because the farmer works hard, he expects a crop. It takes patience and persistence and plain old hard work to be a successful farmer. Farming is no hobby for a person to dabble in. Farming is a commitment that requires everything that a man has. Reminds me of a verse in James chapter 5. Where James says in verse 7 and 8, he says, be patient then, brethren, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient, strengthen your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. It's no time to quit now. Okay? It's no time to give up. It's no time to go slow. It's no time to sit back. Friends, a disciple needs the diligence like that of the farmer. The harvest won't come in a day or in a month. There is nothing glamorous about being a farmer. There's nothing glamorous about a farmer's work. Sometimes his coveralls are muddy. There's nothing glamorous. It's not a fashion show. Man, this man is just working, man. It's not a thrill a minute by any means. It's obvious, it's often tedious and boring. Yet he knows that he must do it if there's going to be a good harvest. The Lord calls you and I to do work for him. The Lord calls us to labor. It's hard work being the light of the world, the light in the world. It's hard work to be an example in the community. It's hard work to be a Christian neighbor. It's hard work to be a Christian parent. It's hard work to be a Christian husband and a Christian wife. It's hard work to comfort the sick and provide for the needy. It's hard work to effectively share the gospel with others. It's hard work, friends, helping a new disciple develop and mature. But being a responsible servant of Christ is hard work. You cannot put your Christian life on autopilot and let's see what happens. You can't sit back. Being a Christian is hard work, friends. And fulfilling our everyday Christian responsibility is not all that glamorous. Let me tell you something. It is not excitement either. You know, there are times when working to be a Christian, a faithful Christian, man, is tedious and monotonous. And on top of that, just like the farmer, you don't get to see immediate rewards of your labor. Sometimes when we do the Lord's work, we see the fruit of our labor. Hey, so-and-so got saved. Praise God, man. Hey, there's a soul, man. Hey, and those times are encouraging. But let me tell you something, friends, that for most of part, we will not receive any reward for our labors until the judgment day. Hey? For most of the part, you won't even expect in you working for God. Yeah, you will not even expect a tap on the back, say, hey, awesome. No, you won't. You can't expect that until Jesus himself on that last day says, well done, good and faithful servants. That's what it's about, friends. Okay? Let me just read three scriptures for you. Galatians 6, verse 7 to 9 and 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. And let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time, we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hebrews 10, verse 35 to 37. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he is coming. He who is coming will come and will not delay. Friends, for the last 5 weeks, we've been talking about discipleship. The cry is, let's get serious. Okay? I know that you are sold out, but don't quit. Stay focused. Do you know what Paul did? Paul ended this section of his letter to Pastor Timothy with these words. He says, remember Jesus Christ. Okay? Raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Friends, you have to keep on keeping on. You have to keep on keeping on with the dedication of a soldier, with the discipline of an athlete, and with the diligence of a farmer. And when you get tired, remember Jesus Christ. When you get discouraged, remember Jesus Christ. When you want to quit, remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus who discipled 12 men who in time discipled the world. And God wants us to continue making disciples of others. But all you have to do, friends, listen, don't give up. Don't give up. And in our last part of the text, here's a lovely part. Hey? The word, the Bible says, verse 11 and 12, 13. Here's a trustworthy saying. Do you know that Bible scholars believe that trustworthy sayings were slogans that were popular in the church at that time? Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot disown himself. Friends, you find friends, completing the faith requires endurance. And our endurance relies on the faithfulness of God, not our own. When we can't imagine getting up another morning and facing the day, we remember his faithfulness. When our faith in Jesus is assaulted with doubts and questions, we remember his faithfulness. When we fall once into the same sin that has beaten us up for over a year, we remember his faithfulness. Don't give up no matter what. And in conclusion, Paul has shown us that if we are to be true disciples, friends, we are to be strong, empowered in the grace of Jesus Christ. We have to endure as focused, dedicated soldiers, as disciplined, well-trained athletes, and as diligent, hard-working farmers. And in doing so, we will live to please our Master. Isn't that what it's all about? Hey, let's be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. Let's endure, friends. Let's endure to the end as true disciples of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads, friends. Father, you have spoken to us continuously. You desire that we all be true disciples. Yes. Lord, you want to help us. You're not condemning us in these sermons. You are stirring our hearts, Lord God. You are making us, Lord, focus on you. You are making us, Lord, stand firm in your word. You are making us look into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, we want to tell you today, Lord, that we love you, that we want to follow you, Lord God, with all our hearts. As you, Lord God, we want to please you because you are our commanding officer, as it were. You are our Lord. We want to please you with our lives. And so, Lord, I pray for every one of us, that in our hearts today, we will say, yes, Lord, I will continue to follow you and trust you, and I will endure to the end. In Jesus' name, amen.